Amen. Isn't God good letting us be in His house this morning?
Amen. I'm appreciative of that. We're going to go back to the book of Jude. Try to pick up where we left off at. Appreciate the teaching of these other men already through this book. It's been good and it's been helpful to my heart. And I'm thankful for that. Appreciate truth, don't you? Amen. I do want to say this. I've just had this on my heart for a few days and I want to say it. I mean, God just really encouraged my heart Friday evening, and I thought about this yesterday a lot. Those of us in the church, those of you, especially most of all you ladies, that does things, that has an effect on our children and grandchildren, I want to tell you thank you. We've got good kids in this church. And they get up here and sing, they quote scripture, they do things, they want to be a part of what's going on. And that's because you've been faithful and those teachers back there have been faithful to plant those seeds in their heart and to live that in front of them. And I want to tell the church thank you for that. It's made a great impression on my grandchildren, and that means something to me, Brother Keith. That means a lot to me. And I want to tell the church thank you for doing that, especially these ladies. And I know you men, too. You speak to these children, and you're kind to them, and you live right in front of them. And I just want to say that. I mean, I think the people of God ought to be encouraged and commended for what they do when they do well. And I want to say, I know we've got our faults. Ain't none of us perfect. So don't go get on no high horse and ride around the pews here this morning, you know, with your chest poked out. But I'm just saying, you do a lot of things well, and it makes a difference in these little ones' life, and that means something to me, and I believe it means something to God. I really do, and I just want to say thank you. Brother Keith, would you pray for us?
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your favor this morning. Be in the house of God. Lord, we need your grace and mercy. Yes. Lord, we look, God, to you this morning to hear from the Word of God. Lord, you are the living Word. Lord, if we might hear from the written Word this morning, hear the voice of God. I pray to help Brother Danny, God, bring to remembrance, God, those things that you put on his heart, his mind, God, give him clarity of mind and heart this morning. Speak in him and through him, Lord, if we might hear the voice of God this morning. We surely want to bow our head and say thank you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We'll look at verse 17. Read a few verses here this morning. And then I'm going to want to try to read some verses, I believe, that relates to this and other parts of the Scripture. But verse 17, it says, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." That very first word there in verse 17 says, "but." That connects that to everything in this chapter that's already come before it. I think it specifically, in context, connects what Brother Keith talked about those false teachers and false prophets, and whoever taught on these other verses, these men that snuck in unawares. It all goes together. And I believe what the man of God is saying here, he says, "but." He says, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ has said before I even told you that this was going to happen. It shouldn't shock you. It shouldn't surprise you. We shouldn't be walking around thinking with the mindset, "I can't believe this is going on." And I don't want to discourage you this morning because we are to stand against it. But you're not going to stop it. That's not to be our position. We are called upon God to be faithful in His truth and to stand against it and to warn God's people to avoid those folks. Is that right, Brother Keith? And to try to steer sinners away from it, not by criticizing them people, but by giving them the gospel. Would you say that's right? Amen. It says, but. So you have to consider things that were said before this. But it says, but, beloved. And I do want to stop there this morning and say I am glad that I know God looks upon me as His beloved. I am so thankful, Brother Keith, that God did everything He did in eternity and in this world in time through His Son by His own good pleasure and through the workings of the Holy Ghost to save my soul. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm beyond thankful. I could not do that for myself. What a blessing to be the beloved of God. Amen. To know He loves you. Amen. And that He looked down upon you and chose to have mercy on you. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Boy, I'm thankful I'm one of God's kids this morning, ain't you? I don't say that in a ten of trying to use loose language or something to disrespect God, but I'm just telling you, that's what we are. We're God's children. Amen. I've got a wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen. And we have a command from Him this morning. Through the Apostle Paul, he says, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Or what are we looking for? How that they told you. See here it says they should be mockers. You ever heard of a mockingbird? It repeats what it hears, but it don't understand it. Now, I know that's not the main use of mockers here. I know that means to put your mouth on people and to deride them and run them down. But part of mocking is to imitate somebody in disrespect. Amen? And I do want to say there's a lot of folks who would profess to be saved this morning in this world. There's a lot of people that would profess to be called to preach. There'd be a lot of people in this world that would profess they have been blessed with the gift to teach that makes a mockery of the God's truth. They're heretics is what they really are. They're apostates. But they're putting themselves in the position of a true child of God and a true messenger of God. And I think that is just as much because it does say, but, like I said, connecting what Brother Keith and these other men's already taught, that does connect false teachers with these. Let me say this, and I believe this has always been true, but I believe it's more true right now today as it's ever been in the last 2,000 years in the time of the church. Our greatest enemy is not the world. People that are lost and would easily confess to you they don't care about Christ is not our worst enemy. It's the wolves and the tares within the umbrella of the professing, and I say professing church world. And what I mean by that is everything that would profess to be Christian. We know they're not all genuine, but they profess to be. That's what I mean by the professing church world. There are heretics, there are even entire denominations in this day and time that is steeped up to their eyeballs in false doctrine. Is that not right, brother? There are folks on TV. And Brother Dennis, he loves some of them. But they're false teachers. They're false prophets. They're liars. Amen? I mean, he talks about Smiley all the time. I guess he shows his teeth so we know he's lying through them. But it's right. They deny the truth. And they are the enemy of the true church. They are enemy of the cross. They are enemy of Christ. Is that right? Let's look back at 2 Peter. in chapter 3. It says, this second epistle, beloved, there's that word again, he's talking to God's children. I now write unto you, unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, by the way of remembrance. Now, is that not what we were already reading in Jude? He says, that you may be mindful of the word. Not opinions, God's word, which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after the lust, their own lust. And that's what they're doing. Is that right? They're walking after their own lust. They want what they want. Amen? They'll completely deny the truth of the Word of God because it's not what they want. They'll read into the Scripture things that are not actually there because that's what they want. Amen? They'll twist Scripture to try to confuse the minds of those that's sitting under the sound of their voice. Because the truth's not what they want. Amen? They're chasing after the lust of their own heart. Amen? What do they want? A lot of things, but it ain't God. Is that right? A preacher that me and Brother Justin's familiar with, he said several years ago, preaching, he said, the problem with people like Osteen and people like that, he said, we're wrong if we say the people sitting under them are their victims, because they're not. He said, what it is, and I believe this is right. I mean, you think what you want to think, but I believe it's right. He said, God has allowed those men to be raised up to stand in front of them people and give them what they already want in their heart, and it ain't God. It's almost like God looked down upon that crowd and said, fine, you don't want the truth. You want all this soft talk. You want all these false promises and everything else. I'll raise you up a leader to tell you what you want to hear. Is that right? That's what he's doing. That's God's judgment on them. They're not victims of another man. Them and that man already agreed in their own heart. They love everything he says because they already believe that. If they didn't, he'd leave. Is that right? Mockers, scoffers, deniers of the truth of the Word of God, deniers of Christ himself, Brother Keith. It says they have not the Spirit. Is that right? 3 John, verse 9, I quote it a lot. I mean, man that abide not in the doctrine of Christ says he has not God. The only way you can not understand what that's saying is you're either lost or you're just willfully wanting to be ignorant because you don't like what it says. There ain't no other explanation. That's pretty plain. Man don't believe the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he don't have God. That means I don't care how many prayers he's prayed, I don't care how many times he's been baptized. I don't care how many cards he's signed or anything else he's ever done. He's never been born again. Because everybody that's born again will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that don't just believe he existed. That means you'll believe what he said. Will you obey it perfectly? No, I don't either. But I want to. And I believe every word of what he said. And I don't question it. Because it's from him. Is that right? But a lot of people don't like what Jesus said. Is that right? Sad. Look at First Timothy. Let's jump back to that. Chapter 4. verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit," that's the Holy Ghost, "speaketh expressly that in the latter times," what? "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to" what? "Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Amen. And he goes on to speak of it. And I'm going to go ahead and mention this. It says, "speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience" what? "Seared with a hot iron." Reprobate. Turned over a reprobate mind, brother. Listen to this. "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a perfect description of the Roman Catholic Church. You tell the priests they can't marry, they forbid you to eat what meat on Friday. They've changed laws and times. They changed the calendar. They brought every kind of pagan belief into their outfit. I hesitate to even call it the church. Roman Catholicism, can I say this? It's not Christianity. It's a pagan religion. And it's pretty much the biggest outfit that claims to be Christianity in this world. That's exactly right. And I believe that the Vatican and the Roman Catholic religion is going to have a direct hand in whatever that one world religion winds up being as we approach the time of the return of Christ. I believe that. You may say, well, a lot of them's good people. There ain't no good people. What Jesus said, there's people we consider good because they're better than other people. But Jesus said there's only one good, and that's God. And God's definition of good people is perfect. And we don't meet the requirements. Is that right? They're not good people. They're not honest, innocent people. They're deceived people. I believe some of them really believe in their heart they do love the Lord. But they're deceived. They've just never been born again. I pray they will. I believe that people in that outfit and these other outfits can be saved. God is not a box and He's not to be hindered. I believe He can save anybody in any false religion. Now, I understand there's some of them we don't see a whole lot come out of it, but that don't mean God ain't able to save them. Is that right? Mockers, scoffers, haters of the truth. That's what they are. And I don't so much blame the people that's under that as I do the leadership. The priests, the bishops, the cardinals, the pope. Because these people from birth is taught, and if you're not saved, I'm sorry, but your upbringing has a great bearing on how you think. And it will not change until you're born again. That's a fact. That don't mean it's right. There's no justification for it. But it is a fact. Is that right, Brother Key? Them people's doing what they've been taught from the cradle to do. To trust those leaders. And then those leaders tells them, you can't know truth except what I tell you. Truth comes from the church. And so until they get born again, that's what they're going to go on. But I'll remind you that if, I tell you what, let me just say this. If the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is hypothetical, but if the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth today conducting ministry, you remember what how he taught them Pharisees? That's the way he'd be talking to that crowd. Call them snakes, vipers. Tell them there are of their father the devil. You say, that's pretty bold. Jesus said it. You ever notice he didn't get rough like that on the common man? But he did to false teachers. He did to false religious leaders. And I believe he would today. You say, well, what are you drawing from that, Brother Danny? What are you really trying to say? We're supposed to follow the example of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you ought to be mean, rude, or hateful to people. But I'm going to tell you what. Anybody that ever want to tell me that it ain't right challenging people with the truth in love, trying to be a help to them, and you shouldn't call them out, just save your breath, because I'm going to do it. I believe we're called to, don't you, Brother Dennis? We're called. The Bible tells us to call that crowd out. Paul done it. He called them a name. So Brother Dennis gets up here this morning, he don't have to say Smiley. If he won't say Joel Osteen, I'll amen him. He's telling the truth. Is that right? Mockers, haters of the truth. Amen. Can I show you something else? Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. I want to show you something. I believe it goes right in line with this. Let me get down here where I'm at. You know, it tells us starting in verse 15 not to love the world and all that stuff. It says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. A lot of misunderstanding and a lot of wondering about what that means in this day and time. Whereby we know what? That it is the last time. The apostle here was saying it was the last time as far as he was concerned when he was alive. That was a long time ago. I believe we're in the last of the last days, but I believe we've been in the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ went back to the right hand of the Father. If you really read the Bible for what it says. It says, now listen to this. It's talking about a crowd of people. He's now going to define who these many antichrists are. Okay? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who's us there? The true church. That's pretty strong scripture. John called them antichrists. I know the word antichrist means to be against Christ. But if you go back to the root in the Greek, it also means in place of or a replacement or an imposter of. This is talking about false Christians that profess to be Christian. They left. Okay? You go back over to our scripture we read in Jude, in verse 19, what's the one thing it says about it? It says they separated themselves. These mockers, these haters, these scoffers, these antichrists, that's what they are. It says they separated themselves. From what, true church? From the truth of the Word of God? You say, you mean to tell me people leaves a true church and goes to a false church where they're preaching false doctrine? They're probably lost? No. I'm telling you they are. That's what the Word of God says. Now, I ain't talking about somebody ain't been saved long and they're still learning and they get confused. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that's been supposedly saved long enough, Brother Keith, that they've heard the truth preached. They see it in the Scripture, they've read it for themselves, and they just don't like it. Or they just can't see it. Or they just don't agree with it. The Word of God right here plainly says they're without the Spirit. You say, that's pretty tight. That's what the Word of God says. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I'm not being their judge. I can't look at them and tell them if they're real or not, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that's a sign that they're not really of us. That's why they leave out from us. Why does people make professions of faith, Brother Keith, stay a while in a sound church, and then they run off to an apostate church? Oh, they never got in. They ain't got the Spirit. They have not God. You say, I don't like that. I know some people like that, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. That's our problem in this day and time. I say that boldly, but I believe it's right. There are a lot of times us as Christians gives people that we have feelings for, family, friends, neighbors that we think a lot of. They're not bad, terrible. I mean, they're not terrible people. They make good neighbors.
They might be good family members as far as the natural family. You understand what I'm saying? They're not wicked people. We need to have them locked up and put in jail because we can't feel safe to be around them. Is that right? But I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The problem we have in this day and time is we get all sympathetic and get our feelings and our emotions all stirred up, and we'll give people the benefit of the doubt when the Word of God never does. So what's right? Our feelings are the Word of God. I'm not trying to convince nobody here nothing this morning. I'm not trying to say your loved one that ain't been in church in 10 years ain't saved. I don't know that. But I'm just saying what the Word of God says. If they shun the truth, Brother Justin, if they shun the people of God, does the Word of God tell us that one of the signs of a true, regenerate Christian is they'll love the brethren? Well, when they hate church people, and they hate the truth, and they look at those people as their judge and somebody that's just their enemy, don't sound to me like they love them. Check mark against them. That ain't my word. That's the Word of God. But that's the world we're in this day and time. Brother Dennis, I think as preachers, one of the greatest enemies we're going to have to preach against and fight in this day and time is deception. We're just going to have to put our feet down. And I'm talking about doing it in love and doing it in the right way. I ain't talking about being mean, hateful to people. That ain't right. But I'm just saying being steadfast in the truth and uncompromising. I can tell somebody I'm concerned for your soul because you tell me you're saved and I don't know if you are or not. That's what I tell them. But your life don't line up with what the Word of God says a Christian is. So that's between you and God. And I just say maybe you need to check up. I think that'd be the right loving way to do it. Put it on them. Don't you mark them. Put it on them. And make them look in the mirror of the Word of God. That's their judge. And Brother Key, if they won't see this, there ain't no hope for them. It don't matter what I say anyway. I can make a mistake and be wrong about somebody, Brother Dennis. But I'm just saying we should not back off and compromise and be scared to speak the truth of the Word of God because we're afraid we might offend somebody. You won't know how to be clear of the sin of offending somebody by doing it in the wrong way. Don't do it in the wrong way. Do it with a tear in your eye with some humility in your voice, making sure they understand you ain't no better than they are and you don't think you are and you're just concerned. You're not judging them. You're just telling them this is what the Word of God says, and I just don't see this in your life. And it concerns me for you. And then just tell them, I would encourage you to pray and seek God and try to get right. Sometimes Christians can get in a bad place for a while, Brother Keith. And if you look on the outside, I mean, they'd be saved people. But if you don't know them very well, you might not think they are. That's why you have to be careful. To warn them and not judge them. Is that right, Brother Keith? I guarantee you, and there's been times in years I've been saved, if somebody looked at me on a certain day, maybe I'd had a bad day or something terrible happened, or I'd done something really bad that I shouldn't have done, and I'm just under a heavy load of conviction because God ain't given me space to get peace in my heart about it again, and I hadn't repented yet. They'd have probably thought, boy, he sure ain't acting like a Christian. You see what I'm saying? But here's the difference. How do you live every day, day after day, consistently? That's what speaks to a true Christian's testimony. We all have bad moments. We all have bad days. But how are you consistently day in and day out for the most part? We're all going to struggle. Is that right? I'm not shooting at nobody. If I would, I'd turn around and shoot at myself. But we're in a world where we have plenty of enemies. And I just want to encourage you this morning. I know we get stirred up over some stuff because I do it. That really ain't worth the effort and it ain't worth the time. But I just want to remind you again this morning in closing, the world, the lost world, the world that wouldn't even claim to be Christian, it's obvious they don't care about God. They're really not our worst enemy. The government's not really our worst enemy. You know who our two worst enemies are?
And I'd say our second worst enemy is those that's within the umbrella, as I said, of professing Christianity that's not right. And they try to pressure us to compromise and go liberal. They tell you, well, you don't love people. No, you love people by telling them the truth. Not by compromising with their sin. Well, you know who our worst enemy is? Go look in the mirror. That's my worst enemy. You know why? Brother Keith, I know I'm saved. I have that peace in my heart. I know that. I'm far from perfect. When I mess up and I don't do right, I ain't got nobody to blame but me. I have the Spirit of God in me. I have everything I need. God's provided everything to me I need to walk according to His Word and walk in the Spirit. Me and Brother Justin were talking about this before the service. But if I mess up and for a period of time I slip off and I get weak and I start walking in the flesh, that's my fault. The devil didn't make me do it. Nobody else made me do it. Somebody might have tempted me, but it's my fault I gave in to the temptation. It ain't theirs. Is that right? We've got enemies all around us. We live within an enemy. It's called the flesh. Is that right, Brother Keith? Be on guard, child of God. And I do want to say this. This right here is always right. It don't matter what our feelings are. There's no exceptions. You say, well, there's always an exception to the rule. That's worldly. That does concern worldly things and circumstances. Concerning the Word of God and God's kingdom, there are never any excuses. It's what God says or you're wrong. And I want to tell you something else. You can't twist this or add to it or try to insert something that ain't really there just because you want it to say what you want it to say. Can I say one thing as a child of God, Brother Keith? I have the Spirit of God teach me this. I understand there are some passages in this Bible that's a little hard to really understand. In cases like that, you know what I believe? I'm still to believe it. Best I can. If I can't understand it, leave it alone. God will reveal it to me if I need that truth. But most of this Bible, most of this Word of God, Brother Keith, is pretty plain. It says just exactly what God meant for it to say. And the problem a lot of times is not that we don't understand it or other people don't understand it. It's they don't like what it says. It ain't what they want. Is that right? That crowd, they'll tell you there's many ways to God. That's because they hate the truth that Jesus said, I am the way. The only way to God. I heard one in Buzzards the other day. I was listening to it. I don't know why. I had a curiosity or stupidity one, I guess. Probably a little both. But somebody asked him, said, do you believe there's more than one way to God? He said, oh no. He said, I believe there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. But I believe there's many ways to Jesus. You know who said it, don't you? Smiley. There's many ways to Jesus. He said, the Bible said there's not but one way to God, the Father. But there are many ways to Jesus so you can get to God. He said, there's a Muslim way and a Buddhist way. Lord help. They hate us, church. But you know what? We ought to be rejoicing in the fact that God loves us. You walk with Him, Brother Aaron. You just believe His truth. Do the best you can. He'll bless you. I tell people all this time, and I know the Christian walk is hard in the sense you've always got the flesh and everything else working against you. I understand that. But in reality, for a child of God, it's not really hard to know how to live for God because He told us. It just comes down to, are you willing to do it or not? I'm sort of full of pride, ain't you? There's sometimes I know good well what God says, Brother Keith, but I won't try to fix it my way. Or I won't try to find some excuse why I don't have to do that this time. Why? I don't know. Flesh, I guess. Mockers, scoffers, haters of the Word of God. We're going to have them all the way to the end. It's going to get worse in this country. Go ahead. As the old saying goes, go ahead and pull up your bootstraps and get ready. Put your armor on, buddy, because you're getting ready to need it. But you know what? We've got it. And we've got the promise of God that it will repel all the fiery darts of the devil. We've already won, church. I'm just warning you what's out there. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to fight it, but I'm also giving you the good news. If you got Him, you've got everything you need to get victory all the way to the end. Because we have Christ, amen, and He cannot fail. Cannot fail. Ain't that good, Brother Aaron? He can't fail you. Does that mean He'll give you everything your little heart's going to want? No, because we're going to ask amiss sometimes. Is that right? I was telling somebody this morning, I said, the good thing about a lot of times when I've asked amiss, I've prayed for something, and God don't do it like by the time I thought He should have done it, and He ain't going to probably start looking like He ain't going to do it the way I thought He should have done it. I told him, I said, if you ever face that in life as a child of God, let me give you a good little piece of advice from experience, from my experience. That's when you ought to be encouraged, not discouraged. Because you go, what? There's been a lot of times I prayed and asked God to do something, and He didn't answer my prayer exactly the way I prayed it. You know what He done? He done something better. Because I'm limited. I don't really know what I want. I don't really know what's best. Sometimes I think I do. Matter of fact, a lot of times I think I do. But God always intends on giving us His very best. Amen? So I'm just telling you, you're going to face these things. You're going to have to fight these battles. You're going to have to be on guard. But don't let it discourage you, child of God. You've got the armor. Amen? You've got God. What a blessing. Amen? Pray one for another. Because we don't stick together in these last days, it's going to make it a lot harder. Amen? Is that right? Brother Aaron, would you pray for us?